Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
Idan Dershowitz joined the Australian Centre for Jewish Civilization at Monash University in 2024. He also joined us last week to talk about homosexuality in the Bible, and this week he's going to talk to us about AI and the Bible. Idan, welcome back to SBS Hebrew.
Thank you very much for having me.
Tell us how you can use AI in clarifying texts in the Bible.
Sure. So one of the things that Bible scholars try to do when they look at the text of the Bible is understand how the text that we have today might reflect some changes that have occurred over the centuries. So we have copies of the Bible that are still written, fresh copies that are written today. But it's a text that has roots going back thousands of years. And we know that there's all sorts of different types of changes that have crept into the text, sometimes just little things and sometimes more fundamental changes, intentional and unintentional. And so scholars have been trying very hard for the past couple hundred years to reconstruct the history of the text just based on comparing different manuscripts and based on certain ideas. And now with the advent of artificial intelligence, we're able to create computerized systems that can do some of the same types of work, sometimes even new types of work or new approaches to these kinds of questions. Yeah.
So that's fascinating, because you're basically saying that AI can take on the form of philosopher in a certain sense.
Yeah, that's right. So there's definitely an aspect of philosophy. There's also a somewhat obscure word that some people in my area use, philology, which has to do with the study of ancient texts in particular and their development. And this is something that computers can definitely help quite a bit with. And it's not only in the area of Bible. We're already seeing new AI tools developed in other adjacent areas. So for example, we have all these ancient inscriptions, and many of these inscriptions are fragmentary, they're damaged. So we can read parts of them, but we can't read other parts. And AI tools are being developed that can help reconstruct those texts. And there are different ways of doing this, but one thing that you can do is you can train an AI on ancient texts, but intentionally block out words or sections. And then as the AI learns, as it's training, it eventually figures out with pretty good accuracy what is missing in those sections. And we can check to see if it's doing a good job, because we're the ones who masked those words, right? So we're hiding something from the AI, and then we can test to see whether it's really figuring it out. And once we see that it does do a good job of filling in things where we know what the answer is, we can ask it to look at things where we don't know what the answer is.
So it's just a question of how much you trust the AI. But it sounds like predictive text in a certain way. But then how much can we really trust AI to fill in these gaps for us? I mean, if AI is essentially being trained by humans, why not just stay with humans to begin with?
It's an excellent question. And sometimes we can't trust, and especially with certain methods of writing algorithms or training, we have this idea of, you know, garbage in, garbage out. You know, if it's poorly designed, then you'll get poor results. But one of the great things about computerized tools that it's really an advantage over human beings is that we can sometimes test them on a ground truth. And that's something that we can't really do with humans. So humans might be extremely skilled at what they're doing, at reconstructing texts, but it's hard to really get an objective metric to see how good they are. But if you're able to test an AI on things where you already know the answer, and you can do this in a really systematic way, really, really broad way, then you can know how good it is. So I'll give you an example from something, a project that I was involved in about 10 years ago. I worked with some computer scientists, computational linguists, on developing an AI tool for studying the text of the Bible. And so this is, so 10 years ago, it's very different tools than what we have today. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that we did is we created an artificial text to test the AI on. So we wanted to ask the AI to look at biblical texts that might reflect editing where different sources, different books were intertwined. And we wanted the AI to help us pull apart those different threads. So in order to see whether it knew what it was doing, we created an artificial text where we took two different texts, had a computer throw them in sort of virtual blender, without telling the AI anything about what we had done, just said, try to tease apart the threads here. Mm-hmm. And it did a good job on this artificial text. And we know that it did a good job because we're the ones who created it. And then that gave us reason to trust it with the relatively high degree of confidence when it was giving us its ideas about texts where we don't know for sure what the answer is.
Idan, do you think that they're going to employ AI assistants in yeshivas? Because the whole point of yeshivas is to have these mind-bending conversations about interpretations of biblical texts. So if we replace that with AI, I just don't understand how that's going to complement people understand the texts.
Yeah, so that's a really interesting question. I spent several years in yeshiva, and as you say, one of the key parts of study in this sort of context is back and forth with another study partner. And in some ways, you can't really compete with that experience. But I've heard of people who have tried to use tools like ChatGPT and so on to replicate some aspect of that. So they would suggest a certain idea, throw it at the AI, have it react, and you can tell the AI to basically pretend that it is a yeshiva student of a certain type and things like that. And in some cases, it can be helpful, not necessarily because it has its own incredible insights, although maybe that'll happen as well, but for the experience of being able to bounce ideas off of someone else, maybe in some cases an AI can be helpful for that. But these are all very different uses of AI, and really,
well, I want to ask you about that. What are the potential uses of AI? I mean, you did mention that it could fill in the cracks with, you know, certain texts that have been missing. What else could AI be helpful with in this category?
So there are so many different things that people are trying to think of, different applications. So there are people working on transcribing huge corpora, huge collections of ancient texts where there's just too much for people to do today. So we have hundreds of thousands of cuneiform tablets. So these are tablets, clay tablets that have these wedges pressed into them, and they're in these ancient languages like Sumerian, Akkadian. And there's just so many of them that it's really too much for any one person. And even if you had enough people to transcribe them all and read them all and classify them, each person would only know about the ones that they had looked at, and the corpus is so large. And so that's an example of something where AI could be really helpful. It could look at all these images of different tablets, read them, classify them, and you'd have some sort of database that can then serve scholars who are looking at something new. So maybe someone's looking at some text, and the AI is already aware that there's something else that's connected to that can help shed light on it. So that's just another example of an area. And I'm trying to think now for my own future research about ways that AIs can help us reconstruct the history of the text of the Bible.
So does that mean that you have to become as well versed on AI as you are in Bible studies, or is it still secondary to Bible studies?
Well, different people have different areas that they specialize in, or things that they're interested in. And so I've been interested in AI and computerized tools for a while. And I grew up with some of this. My father is a computer scientist, so I've been exposed to some of these things from a young age. And I think now is really the moment where these things are starting to become really helpful.
So net positive?
Look, when it comes to whether AI will be a net positive in the world or not, I think that's a really big question. I'm not sure what the answer to that is. But when it comes to smaller questions, like will it be able to help us with our research and whatever our area of study is, I'm quite optimistic that in the next few years we'll be able to, we'll see some real advances, things that wouldn't have been possible without the help of AI.
I have one more question about this. It's aiming towards understanding where the human touch versus AI belongs within this context of Bible studies, because Bible studies, as I understand it, offers different interpretations. And that's the whole point of yeshivas, where people sit and they debate these sorts of interpretations out with each other. So if AI were to enter the equation here, then you don't think that AI would replace human debate. Rather, you think it would enhance human debate.
I think that in the short term, in the next few years, it will enhance, and it is already enhancing. And I've used, even off the shelf AI tools in ways that have been helpful for me in my research in the past year or so, let's say. But I don't really know what to expect if we're looking at, 5 to 10 years in the future. I do think that it's possible that it will shift from supplementation to replacement in some contexts, and that's obviously a scary thought.
Okay. So
it's just such a rapidly evolving field that it's really hard to know exactly what's going to happen. But people in my sort of area, people who deal with texts and things like that, are working in areas that are most suited to AI disruption. If someone is a hairdresser, I think that their jobs are safe for a while. But if you're working on understanding texts, well, that's really one of the main things that AIs are focusing on now as well.
It might be you versus the bot at the end of the day.
It might.
Perish the thought.
Yeah, I mean, look, the best chess players started losing to computers a while ago already. But people still play chess and people still enjoy it and there's still value in it.
Yeah, I just
but
wonder
it's
if
been
that
a long time since a computer has lost to a human.
Well, computer's not meant to lose by design because it is a computer, so it has much better assessment theories than a human being. But I wonder if that actually amplifies or expands the base level of a human when they're in competition against AI. All right, Idan. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us again on SBS Hebrew. This has been fascinating. Definitely a subject that I haven't covered before, but certainly one that we'll be discussing more in the future. So thank you so much for joining us here on SBS Hebrew.
Always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.